Our Man at Wembley by Bill Matthews, Episode 2. The year is 1947. Our hero, Eric Halliday, despite being a member of the lower orders and a Lancastrian to boot, has managed to acquire a sports commentating job on the wireless through his perfect imitation of a BBC accent. His proud sister Dora must never find out that he's leading a double life, nor must his new colleague, Gordon Mackay, who wishes to scupper Eric's career before it's even begun.
Hello, Michael.
Eric, come here quick.
Michael, what are you doing?
Did anyone follow you here?
I don't think so.
Then we may be safe. If anyone discovers us, I've got 2 cyanide pills in my sock.
You were an only child, weren't you, Michael?
You can't be too careful. So, what sort of contract did the BBC offer you?
I've got 6 months. And then, who knows?
Eric Halliday, eh? BBC commentator. Congratulations, mate.
Thanks.
Thanks. Well, go on then, let's hear the voice you use on the air.
Could you spare me a couple of quid, old chap? I'm a bit tight.
That's very good.
No, I really was wondering if you could lend me a few bob. Just till payday, like.
Oh, when's that?
I've no idea. I suppose I will be getting paid, but the subject never came up. It's just that I need to buy a dinner jacket.
What on earth for?
To do my sports commentaries in.
Right, I'm taking all this in my stride. You know that, Eric?
Major Shaw Jones says what you're wearing comes across in the voice.
Yeah, of course it does. Mm. The trouble is, I've got no money to lend you. Oh. We haven't sold a single television in the last month.
I thought everything in this shop looked sickeningly familiar.
So, when should we tell Dora?
I thought of 2 possible times. The 12th of never, or the day hell freezes over. Whichever's the later.
Come on, Eric.
You know how my sister would feel about me changing my accent. It's the part of our past that she clings on to most fervently. A single vowel out of place and she goes spur.
Yeah, anyone south of Stockport is immediately labelled as a silver spoon-sucking soft southern sissy.
Apart from you.
Especially me. Look, Eric, just so I know, how many people are in on your dark secret, not counting me?
Not counting you? Let's see. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. No one. And the fewer people who know about it, the better. Either at home or at the BBC. Chantal! Stop!
Oh, Mr. Mackay, what do you want?
Well, do I have to want something? I just thought it would be pleasant if we walked together. Did you hear my commentary on the Bruce Woodcock fight?
I don't like boxing. It is brutal.
Oh. What about my commentary on last week's Grand National?
I hate the Grand National. It is barbarous.
No point in asking if you heard my hair-coursing report the other evening. Chantal.
Yes, Mr. Mackay.
Please call me Gordon.
Oh, very well, and you can call me Miss Deschamps.
Chantal.
Are you about to ask me out again?
Well, yes, I was.
I'm sorry, I'm busy that night.
I didn't say which night.
You didn't need to.
Why don't you just give me a try? Don't you owe yourself that?
For a start, you are too old for me. What are you, 40? Also, I find you arrogant, ill-tempered, self-satisfied and rude.
But don't you realise? That's just an act.
An act?
Well, of course. I'm the senior commentator in the department. I have to show any whippersnappers who come along who the top man is. So I pretend to be this man you've just described.
I do not understand you English people. You're so obsessed with one person being on top of another. Why did you not make a lewd remark?
Well, I told you. Outside the walls of Broadcasting House, I'm a different man. And I want you to see a part of me no one else in the BBC has ever seen.
Now comes the lewd remark.
I'm offering you, Chantal, a chance to get to know the real Gordon Mackay.
Oh, what an honour.
Now, Halliday, since the Major has insisted I take you under my wing, I'd better tell you your job. You know what the number 2 does, don't you?
I speak during gaps in play and comment on any important incidents.
Normally that would be a number 2's role, yes. The problem is I never leave any gaps, and there's not a radio listener out there who's interested in your comments.
But Major Shaw Jones...
The Major has no say in the matter once we're out here, Halliday. I'll allow you 1 minute at half-time, no more.
I don't think
The thing is, Halliday, you're simply not needed. We have men covering cricket, horse racing and rugby, and I cover all the rest. Capiche?
Good afternoon and welcome to Highbury for this international friendly between England and France.
Indeed, the most remarkable thing about this match is that we've reached half-time and it's still goalless. In a half dominated by England, the French custodian, de Louis, has made fine saves from both Lawton and Finney.
I say Halliday.
While France's only chance from Lechange sailed over Frank Swift's bar.
What is it?
While you're enjoying the sound of your own voice, the nation is engrossed in the shipping forecast. I'm afraid we didn't have time for your piece in the end. Bad luck.
Wipe your feet coming in here.
Hello, darling wife and child.
Is it my imagination, Michael? Or is there actually more in this shop than when I was last here this morning? Just look at all this junk. It's doing nothing but gather dust.
Good job we have on sale. The Hoover Deluxe, Madam May, housewife's best friend.
It's time to face up to facts. We might have to start selling people what they want now rather than what they might want in 10 years.
Then we could call the shop today instead of tomorrow today.
So what do you suggest?
Well, more things like that Hoover. Labour-saving devices. Useful things. Face it, Michael, maybe there's no future in the future.
But in the future, there will be future in the future, Dora, I know it.
But what about now, Michael, now? We're in trouble, aren't we?
Well...
I need to know.
Yes, we are.
How much?
Alf, close your ears.
We need to double our takings before we can even start paying back our bank loan.
Oh.
And if we didn't have what Eric gives us for his board and lodging, we wouldn't have any income at all.
Miss Deschamps?
Mr. Halliday.
Is it you I give my expenses form to?
Thank you very much. What is this? A receipt from the Moss Brothers?
Moss Bros, yes. The Major told me to wear my suit when commentating, and the trouble is I find myself temporarily between dinner jackets at the moment.
Oh, I see.
So I had to hire one.
I'm afraid the BBC cannot pay for any clothing.
Oh, I'm so terribly sorry. Uh-huh. This won't get me into any bother, will it?
Oh, don't be silly. We've had many more strange than yours. Mm-hmm. One commentator, he handed us a doctor's bill after commentating on tennis because he ricked his neck moving his head from...
Halliday. Halliday.
Good morning, Miss Mackay.
Run along, Halliday. You don't want to be late for this meeting.
Yes, I'd better go. Au revoir, Miss Deschamps.
Goodbye. You're not very friendly to him.
Ah, but remember, Chantal, it's all put on.
Silly me, I forgot.
So, how about tonight?
No, sorry.
Tomorrow night?
Okay.
All right, then. The night after... What did you say?
I will go out with you. Perhaps it's the only way you'll stop asking me.
Right, now, moving on to the next item. Programmes since we last met. We'll start with Saturday's Soccer International. Commentators Gordon Mackay and Eric Halliday. Well, at least that was the intention. Were you actually there, Halliday? Or did you decide to work from home that day?
I was there, Major.
Then why did you not speak?
Well, I was...
Every time I was about to hand over, there he was opening and shutting his mouth with no sound coming out.
Well, Halliday, what have you got to say?
Mr. Mackay told me not to speak during the match itself and that I would be restricted to a half-time summary. When my turn came, Mr. Mackay told me we had already returned to the studio.
So, Major, it's his word against mine.
Yes, well, never mind that. I made Halliday your responsibility, Mackay, and if he's not doing his job, then you're as much to blame as he is.
But, Major...
You haven't made the best of starts, Halliday, I'm afraid. All my men have a distinctive style, but from the little I've heard of you, you sound like a mishmash of all of them.
Yes, Major.
And the last thing I need is division in the ranks in the week before the FA Cup final. Well, I might as well tell you now, I've got some bad news.
Oh?
The Football Association have refused us permission to broadcast inside the Empire Stadium. Yes, they're insisting we should have to pay a fee if we want to broadcast from inside the ground.
This is a principle on which we must never yield.
Precisely. We'll do all we can to change their minds, but in the meantime, we need a contingency plan. Any ideas?
Girl. 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 Girl!
Eric, what on earth are you doing?
Michael, it's you. Well, Shaw Jones has told me that I don't have a natural style yet, so I've got to invent one. Hey, what about this?
Oh, look. Jack London has just knocked out Joe Louis to become the first British world heavyweight champion this century. I'll bet he'll be quietly pleased about that.
I think Shaw Jones would be loudly displeased.
Oh, what about this, then? This England team are playing like absolute buffoons. This is utter balderdash, complete tommy rot, total hogwash.
You can't possibly express opinions on the BBC.
Oh, true. I just don't think there are any commentary styles left, are there?
Probably not. I've just had a thought. Sure Jones wants you to be different, yes?
Yes.
So, how would you describe Gordon Mackay's commentaries?
Slow, reserved, languid.
So, be the opposite of that.
Yeah. What's that, then? Fast, unreserved, energetic. Yes, I better start practising. It's Mortensen, still Mortensen, still Mortensen, goal!
As you say, you better start practising.
Practising for what?
Oh, hey, hello, Alf.
Why are you putting on that funny voice, Uncle Eric?
Oh, you know me, Alf, just polishing up one of my new impressions.
Well, I didn't recognise him.
No, well, you wouldn't have. He's just some new commentator on the wireless.
Come on, Burnley! Come on, Burnley!
Not while you're eating, Alf.
Come on, Mum! Come on, Mum. There's a morning in the Cup final. It's Burnley's first final since 1914, and they're my team!
And all this means you can shout at the table, does it?
Doesn't it?
No.
And Burnley are going to be the first winners from the second division since 1931. Guess who it was then?
All right, then. Sheffield Rovers.
That's not even a proper team.
Hello, who's that?
I don't know.
Michael? Who's looking after the shop?
Good news. You know that television set which has been sitting in the shop window since the day we first opened? It's gone.
Oh, this couldn't come at a better time. Was it anyone we know?
Yes. Us.
Yeah!
Oh, no.
Hey, can I invite Ridgeway and Jeff on Liz, Joe and Donald and Frank, please?
Michael.
It's one less in the display, Dora. Makes us look like we're successful.
Mm.
And Harry and Jack and George and Albert and... Where's Uncle Eric? He'd want to watch it too.
Eric had to go to work today.
On a cup final day?
Since when did Eric's accountancy firm work all day Saturday? Come to think of it, I haven't seen Eric on a Saturday for weeks.
Neither have I.
Oh, it's this girl.
That must be it.
Or is it something else? He confides in you, Michael.
It's definitely the girl.
Is there something you're not telling me, Michael?
Course not. Well, why should there be?
Right, men, I'm afraid it's still no go. I've just come from a meeting with the FA chairman, and they still won't budge. So, let's concentrate on Plan B. It's now 2 hours and counting until kick-off. Now, Higgins here has been working through the night to set up a studio in this rented house. So, let's go over it again. Now, here are your tickets. Mackay.
Thank you, Major.
Yeah, Llewellyn Smith. Bellingham.
Thank you, sir.
Halliday.
Thank you, sir.
Now, the idea is for each of you to be driven to the stadium and enter as a paying customer, watch the match in shifts of 15 minutes, and be driven back here. You must then each talk about what you saw for another quarter of an hour until the next man is ready to replace you. Yeah. Mackay and Llewellyn Smith, you will take the first two and last two shifts.
Right, Major.
Bellingham and Halliday, yeah. You will only be required again if the match goes into extra time. Any questions?
What if we're at the match and a goal is scored?
Well, then you must stay put, Halliday, and wait until your 15 minutes are up, then return here and begin with a description of any goal or goals. So, is everything clear?
Yes, Major.
Are you quite sure?
Okay.
That guy from shop.
The aerial's in place. The set's plugged in. The final's about to start. It's time to switch on.
This is brilliant. Look, you can clearly see the face of an old man.
It's probably the referee.
Now that's me dad's reflection, you half-wit. The set hasn't warmed up yet.
This is it.
Here it comes. Is that it?
Well, it must need tuning.
Charlton's back line of Shreve and Croker have looked at ease in coping with everything Burnley have thrown at them. Peter Croker is one of six survivors of last year's Cup final side, which lost 3-1 to Huddersfield.
All right, Halliday, you can stop now.
And now Gordon Mackay will take you through the next 15 minutes of play. Thank the Lord.
When I left the stadium, the score was still Charlton Athletic 0, Burnley 0, with a quarter of an hour of the match remaining. I'm sorry to say that during the 15 minutes I saw, absolutely nothing happened. So, until my colleague Llewellyn Smith comes back with the score at the final whistle, I suggest we return to Broadcasting House and play some music.
Come on, Mackay, you can't give up now. Your country needs you.
But since we can't do that, let me tell you that in the Charlton side, there are six survivors from last year's cup final, one being Peter Croker.
Go! It's a goal! Yeah! Oh, Campbell!
Or is it a throw-in?
It definitely wasn't a goal, but it's hard to tell anything with this picture.
According to Alf, it's about 13-0 to Burnley.
Well, perhaps it's not the picture. Perhaps a mighty pea super has descended over North West London.
And mysteriously left West London completely clear.
It's a miracle.
Dad, I reckon Charlton are attacking that.
No, that's Burnley, you twit.
Go!
No, it's not.
Excuse me. I must see what's happening. I'm from the BBC. Absolutely imperative. I must
get standing here.
Oh, this is useless. Hey, I've got it. Hey, old lads, let us through. Well, yeah, I can't see out from here.
Sorry.
Excuse me. Sorry, there you go. So, how long to go, do you think, lads?
6 or 7 minutes, the end of extra time.
Oh, at least a replay should be near at home, eh?
If there is a replay, get it away!
Oh, no. The car's not back yet. Oh, I'll have to run.
Dad, look, you know what? I really love being able to watch my first ever final on television.
I'm glad, son.
But do you think we could have, you know, the radio on as well?
No, certainly not.
Well, why can't we?
Give me a minute and I'll think of a reason. Alf!
But there was still no sign of the deadlock being broken.
Bellingham, out of the way, quick!
No! And now, Eric Halliday.
Did you say Eric Halliday?
Errol Holloway, wasn't it?
Charlton have scored.
Come on, Halliday, who scored? What was the build-up play like?
Robinson Cross. Wales headed on, and Duffy followed it in from...
From what, Halliday? Come on, you can do it!
From the edge of the box.
Well done, Halliday!
Bellingham, you'd better take over.
Well, Charlton now...
I thought Shaw Jones had accused me of deserting my post, but he said it had made for a great radio event that they might still be replaying in 50 years.
That's terrific.
Yeah, then he told me he wanted me as part of his team for the Wimbledon fortnight.
That's even more terrific. Isn't it?
Well, it is. Except that Dora likes tennis.
Oh, she does, doesn't she?
She does. Anyway, that's enough about me. What did you think of my commentary?
Well, I only heard the end of it.
Why?
I'll show you why.
Hey?
The television set?
It was a surprise for Alf.
Oh, he must have been very disappointed. All that effort for nothing.
Well, yeah, he was upset about the result, but at least he got to see the match.
Michael, all of the BBC was banned from covering the cup final.
Sorry?
Including television.
Don't be silly, we saw it.
You couldn't have.
Then what was it we spent 2 hours watching this afternoon?
Well, it wasn't football.
There were lots of shadowy figures running up and down, and they had different kits on. One dark, one light.
Well, perhaps it's in the paper. Have a look. Here we are. In case the coverage of the FA Cup final is cancelled, BBC Television will show instead live ballroom dancing from the Astoria, Emma Lampstead.
What you saw
wasn't Duffy scoring winning goal. It was Mr. and Mrs. Fortescue Smythe performing the quick step.
Oh, I can't believe it. Whatever happens, Alf shouldn't find out. He's made enough unwelcome discoveries for one day.
What do you mean?
Oh, didn't I tell you? Alf knows.
Alf does indeed know Uncle Eric. It's not every day you find out your uncle's a famous sports commentator. Charlton have scored.
Oh, heck.
Dad tried to make out they said Errol Holloway, but I recognised the voice from that time in your bedroom. It was yourself who was doing the impression off, wasn't it?
Oh, look, you won't tell Dora, will you, Alf, eh? She'd kill me if she knew I were making me living by pretending to be a posh southerner.
Oh, so Mum doesn't know yet?
Hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Alf.
See, I wonder if it's right that she should be kept in the dark.
So what's it going to cost to buy your silence then, Alf?
Let me see. I think 5 to start with.
What, shillings? Pounds? Guineas?
Autographs. Including Stanley Matthews. Or there's no deal.
Mr. Halliday? Mr. Halliday.
Hello, Mr. Shaw.
Are you on your way to Wimbledon?
Yes, I was about to take a cab.
Then shall we share one?
If you want.
Oh, well, look, if you wish to travel alone, I can go on the underground.
No, please, forgive me, Miss Deschamps. I'm just a little nervous.
Why?
Yes, why? Well, I suppose this Wimbledon is my chance to establish myself. I'm halfway through my probationary period and I could be out of a job in a few weeks.
The Major seemed pleased with you the other day.
When?
After the FA Cup final.
That was 6 weeks ago now. Since the end of the football season, I haven't been given an awful lot to do. The other thing is, we're trying out a revolutionary new commentary method.
What is that?
Well, before the war, they could sometimes get away with just saying the players' names during a rally. Coche, Perry, Coche, Perry, Coche, Perry, Coche, Perry, Coche, out. Yeah. And now the Major thinks we should describe more fully what actually happens during each point.
Oh, is that time?
I don't know. I suppose that's what we're about to find out. Oh, here's a cab. Taxi!
I never thought you were interested in talking to me.
Me? I thought the same about you.
Oh, why was that?
You seemed so superior. I don't mean snobbish. I mean somewhere high above, looking down.
You seem to have got things the wrong way around. You're supposed to look down on me.
Why?
Because I'm a foreigner. And a woman. And from a lower social class than you.
But you're not.
I must be, or you would never have got your job. Isn't that how it works?
Not everything is as it seems, Chantal. Would you care if I was from a lower class than you?
What does that mean? I've tried to understand the English class system, but every time I'm defeated.
Chantal?
Yes, Eric?
Would you like to come to the pictures with me tomorrow night? Ronald Coleman in A Double Life.
I would like to, but I'm afraid I am already, mm-hmm. How can I say, stepping out with someone. And I don't think you'd want Gordon to come along, too.
Gordon? You don't mean Mackay?
Yes, why not?
But he's old enough to be your...
My what?
Uncle.
He's only 42.
42? I always thought he was a lot older. From another age altogether.
Falkenberg serves to Pales' forehand side. Pales returns to the baseline where Falkenberg has remained. He places a topspin forehand down the line to Pales' backhand. Pales responds with a lob, which Falkenberg smashes easily. 30 love. Pales runs around his backhand, hits it to the American's feet. Falkenberg scoops up the ball, but Pales is there to put volley down the line. 30-15.
40-15.
That last point was won by Falkenberg. Here's the next. Falkenberg, Pales.
Game to Falkenberg.
Falkenberg serves the Pales forehand. Turn is good.
Hello, Dora. I've got something to tell you.
Hello, love. How did he go at the bank?
Pales attempts pass.
Well?
It's Gordon Mackay, that's all right.
Is that what you had to tell me?
What?
It's Gordon Mackay and that's all right.
No. The bank aren't prepared to defer our loan payment, let alone give us any more money to stock up with the household appliances we want to sell.
Oh, no.
They've given us just 2 weeks to come up with this month's instalment.
Where from? We can't ask Eric for any more board. That accountancy firm pay him little enough as it is.
It looks like we might have to close down.
Not after all we've been through.
What's on the home service?
Did you notice? That commentator's Pales got the same name as our Eric.
Has he really?
Pales volleys well, but not well enough as Falkenberg passes him with the backhand down the line.
Well, this one's a lot better than the last fella.
Have you got them, Uncle Eric?
Not so loud.
They're in my pocket. There you are. One Bill Edrich, one Doris Hart, and three Dennis Comptons.
Doris Hart? Is this some kind of joke, Uncle Eric?
She's a tennis player. She's in final of the women's doubles.
Look, I'm afraid you're going to have to do a little better than this. Where's my new Abba-Pataddy?
Oh, Eric!
Quick.
You'll never guess what I found out today.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tennis commentator with exactly the same name as you.
Is there really?
I'm surprised you haven't come across him before, time you spend listening to the wireless. Alf, what's that behind your back?
Nothing.
If it's nothing, let's have a look. Come on! Now, Bull Edrick, Davis Hurt, Dennis Compton.
They're all early American presidents. I'm trying to remember their names for a school test.
Alf, even I know who Dennis Compton is. Did you get these autographs for Alf and Eric?
Well, yes.
Well, that's very kind of you. When do you ever go to any sporting events, you've always preferred listening to them on the radio. You must think I'm very stupid. And you'd be right. I have been so completely dense.
Don't worry, Mum. We don't think any of the less of you.
I'll deal with you later, Alf. For now, I'd like to talk to my brother alone. Say, this is the BBC Home Service.
This is the BBC Home Service?
No, not like that. Say it in a posh voice, a BBC voice.
Dora.
Do it!
This is the BBC Home Service.
That's it! That's the voice I heard! Who knows about this? Is Michael in on it too?
I made him promise not to tell you. It's not his fault. Blame me.
I do blame you, don't worry. You've not only lied to me, you've shamed the place where you were born, where you grew up, the place that made you what you are.
This is why I never told you.
So you think the only way you can get on in life is to pretend to be some southern doity-toity chinless wonder?
No, Dora.
You've lied to me, Eric. You've made a husband lie to his wife and a son lie to his mother. I don't want you in this house anymore. I don't ever want to be in the same room with you ever again. Go on, you better go.
Dora.
Now!
We go over now to Kensington Gardens, where our man on the park bench is Eric Halliday.
In episode 2 of Our Man at Wembley, you heard Alistair McGowan as Eric.